Greetings to all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 29. And last time we were in Matthew chapter 7, where in essence, most people who think themselves to be the followers of Christ, they come to Christ at the end time, and they are the majority. When he says many, oftentimes this terminology, many and few, means the majority and then the few. And so many will say to me, he said in verse 22, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And this is going to be, unfortunately and tragically and sadly, the fate of many, the majority of those who supposedly are followers of Christ. And in specific, he's talking about the leadership of them, you see, because they're the ones, basically, that are engaged in preaching in his name and casting demons and doing many wonders in his name. And that includes all of their followers also, because they're all following the same teachings, the false teachings that they've given them. And so long ago, looking down into the future, throughout the corridor of time, the next 2,000 years until his coming, Jesus Christ is in essence addressing not the Jewish community, because, you know, they didn't go around preaching in his name, but those who call themselves Christianity. And in essence, branding them for what they really are, lawless people. They accepted his name. They accepted his sacrifice. They accepted the fact that he's the Savior, the Deliverer, the Redeemer, that his blood was shed for them. They accepted the fact that he was crucified for them and then denied his law. You see? And became lawless. They turned the grace of God into license to do whatever they wanted to do. And to this very day, that's the way they function. And of course, the followers, what do they know? They just follow the leaders. They think, well, they are the servants of Christ, ministers of the gospel, so they believe them. And a church rose that took over, you see, and the few that remained faithful to Christ were shoved aside, were called heretics, were persecuted. And so now this false church became the dominant one, and then after that, during the time of the Reformation, others came out of her and others split in between from her. But all of them are basically of the same mind and nature, all teach the same, and all teach that the law of God is done away with, nailed to the cross. And all of them, at the end time, he says, many of those will come to him and will say, we are your people too, because they realize they are being shoved out. Just like they shoved aside the truth, and his own followers, the genuine ones who remain faithful to the Torah, of which he told them, do not think that I came to do away with the Torah or the prophets, you see, of which the Apostle Paul said the Torah is holy and spiritual and good, and without it there is no knowledge of sin, you see. But the majority totally forgot about all that conveniently, willingly, willfully, and they misled their followers. And so they come at the end time. As it says in verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. You see? That's what they've been saying for the last 2,000 years. You know, our Lord, our Master, our Savior, El Salvador, and you know, all kind of languages and names, all kind of nations, all kind of peoples, almost 2 billion of them, probably more than 2 billion, who knows how many they are, but sizable number of people all claim to be his followers. And so they tell him that they have acknowledged him all this time. But he does not acknowledge them, you see. So it's not, do you know the Lord? It is, does the Lord know you? And this Lord claims he does not know them. And so we read in verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never, never. Imagine that. I never knew you. People who claim that they've been with him all this time, believed in him, followed him, fought in his name, taught in his name, preached in his name, have done mighty wonders and works and good works and went all around the earth, you see, and preached his name and the love of Christ and so forth. And he says, I never knew you. Why? He says, depart from me, you who work or practice lawlessness. And that's why I don't know you. Just like John said, by this we know that we know him. If we keep his commandments, not claim it was done away with, nailed to the cross, and it's not for us, and that old, harsh, restrictive law is not for us, when he commanded his followers to live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. When he commanded his followers to remember that he did not come to do away with the Torah or the prophets. You see, he's the one that gave it. Why would he do away with it? It's for that reason that he came and died. And so they deny the reason why he came and died and gave his life for humanity, including and mainly for his own people first, you see, because of sins. And so they say Christ died for our sins, but now that he did, you know, he got rid of that law. So why die for it to begin with? You know, they make a mockery out of his sacrifice, out of the sacrifice and the love of God, which he gave for all mankind, because he does not want anyone of us to perish. And why is it that we are going to perish? Because we are lawless and despise his nature and character and mind, and yet we want to be in his kingdom. You see? You can see what the devil has done to all mankind. A lot of people are duped. They don't know it. They are in utter darkness and confusion, and they think they walk in the light. That's what Paul said. You know, he that thinks that he stands, take heed lest he fall. You got to prove all things, he said. Make sure that what you have been taught is right and correct and it is from God. Study the entirety of the Word of God, because you are supposed and commanded to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, from Genesis 1:1 to the last verse in Revelation. That's one whole package deal. And those who don't are going to find themselves right in this position. You'll tell them, I never knew you. You claim that you know me. You claim that you are my disciples. You are my followers. You claim you're, you know, the world of Christianity and Christendom and all those titles and names that you have invented for yourself, but I never knew you. Where does that leave you? All of you claim to be Christians, followers of Christ, when you despise his nature and character, his law. You see? That's what he says to them. Get out of here, you who practice lawlessness. Verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, these are the words of Christ, of the Redeemer, not the words of man. So whoever hears them and does them, as the Apostle Paul said in Romans 2:13, it's not the hearers of the law who is going to be justified, but the doers of the law. Paul had never done away with the law of God, with the Torah of God. Why would he do it? It was the Apostle of Jesus Christ who told him and everybody else, don't think that I came to do away with the Torah or the prophets. But people claim that Paul came, you know, and invented a new religion, Christianity, is the founder of Christianity, you know, because he was the apostle to the Gentiles, so he just took them totally away and apart and far away from the law of God, from Judaism, as you look at it, you know, from that old stuff, old Jewish law, and created a new religion, just grace and faith, sweet, nicey, nice words, you see, smooth talking to people. Christ died for you, you know, for you, you know, Christ loves you, God loves you. You see, he hasn't done that. Apostle Paul was one of the greatest champions of the law of God. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and to the day he died, he was proud to proclaim himself a Pharisee, a son of a Pharisee. At the end of the book of Acts, that's what he said, I am a Pharisee. He didn't say, I used to be. A lot of people out there in their ignorance and blindness and bigoted, you know, and confusion spirit, and a vicious mind oftentimes against the people of God, the people of Judah in specific. You know, they speak evil of the Pharisees instead of distinguishing the difference between the righteousness of the Pharisee and the hypocrisy. And not everybody was a hypocrite. Paul was not a hypocrite, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. There were many others like him. They were as devout and faithful as they could be. You see, and for the next many centuries, many of them were willing to give their life rather than transgress the law of God. They threw themselves into the fire. They went through horrible, horrible shame and, you know, degradation and inhumanities committed by so-called Christians who were anything but that, because they did not want to transgress the law of God or give it up and go for that vomit that was offered to them, supposedly called Christianity. You see? And that's what he's saying, Jesus Christ. You are lawless. And this is the irony there. You know, the Jews were supposed to be, you know, the rejecting, you know, the ones who rejected Christ. They're obeying his law. They were not lawless. You know, they've added their own do's and don'ts. That was not good. God didn't didn't want that. He told them to get rid of that stuff and just walk in the purity of the law, of the teachings that he gave them. They got their problems, but they never rejected the law of God. They never rejected the mind and the nature of God. They never rejected Jesus Christ in reality. They just didn't think that he is the one who came in the flesh. But the God of Israel, who married them in Sinai, who led them all this time, they always prayed to, and that was Jesus Christ. What a twist of irony. And the others who claim to be members of the world of, you know, of Christianity, the followers of Christ, just accepted his name and despised his law and nature and character and mind, you see, and teachings. Only the ones that they found to be convenient, they followed. That's why he's saying to them. That's why he recorded that long time ago, specifically to the so-called the world of Christianity. You are lawless because you rejected the law. You see? As he would say later on, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not what I say? You see? He's calling them liars and thieves and robbers and children of darkness, and yet they think they are children of light. You see? And their confusion and deception, because the devil had deceived the whole world. That's why. You see? They don't even know it. One of these days they're going to find out the hard way. It's going to be a rude awakening. That doesn't mean at this point he's going to totally, you know, get rid of them and throw them into a lake of fire and destroy them. No. They're just not going to be in the first resurrection. They're not going to be in the wedding supper. They're going to be reserved for the second resurrection. You see? Or at least, they're not going to be in that wedding. They're not going to be a part of the kingdom of God in that sense. But God knows at the same time that they've been deceived. They don't know any better. They've been confused. They've been born into deception. What do they know? You're born into that. That's all you know. But at least he's going to expose them for what they are. And there isn't going to be any more so-called Christianity or Judaism or Islam or any religion on the face of the earth, which are all religions of men with bits and pieces of truth. All product of one mind and spirit, and it's not God. Of course, today people will kill you for it, and they did in the past, and they will yet do in the future. So saying that, that's reality. We're going to face it. Just like this whole religion is going to face this reality when they are standing before their Maker and Lord and Savior and Redeemer, who is going to tell them, you are a bunch of liars, lawless people. Get out of here. I don't even know you. I never knew you. So think about the 2,000 years of waste of going to so-called a church on Sunday and worshiping Christ and doing, you know, great works and wonders and casting demons. All that was in vain. Christ was never there. He was never in it. You see, it was another spirit, a false Christ. That's why he said to them, beware, to his disciples in Matthew 24, many shall come in my name, you know, many false Christs, you know. And false prophets should proclaim, you know, all my greatness and things like that, but they're going to deceive many. That's how they have done it. And so that's why it says in verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, that says they're done away with, they're not for me. Christ did it for me. It was all done long ago, you see. So he spoke very plainly. How many people are listening? You see? But to those who are willing to hear, he says, those sayings of his, and do them, he says, I will liken him, or her, to a wise man, or wise woman, who built his house on the rock. He is the rock, not Peter. Peter was was the apostle to the circumcision to begin with. He was never the apostle to the uncircumcision, and he certainly was never the first pope, or Peter. And there is no such a thing as seed of Peter. You see, there's a seed of Moses, but not the seed of Peter. And Peter was judging the church of the time based on the teachings of the law of Moses. So he was sitting in the seat of Moses. You see, teaching the law of Moses, which Christ gave to Moses to give to Israel and all mankind. You see, all those lies that came later on. And he's a rock. So they took that terminology, the rock, and called Peter the rock. Well, Peter, you know, means a pebble, a little stone. But he's talking about the rock, you know. I am the rock, not you. It's on this rock that he was going to build his church himself. Because he's the head of the body, not Peter. all those lies that they spoke in his name. And so he says, verse 25, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall. Why? Because it was founded on the rock. You see, the word of God, the truth, the commandments, the teachings, the Torah, you see, which Christ gave to people, to his people in Sinai, and told them to go and be a light to the world, teach all mankind that very message, that very truth, that very way of life that will make it possible for them to become holy as their Creator, and therefore they will be able to become a part of that kingdom and members of that family. You see, there is no other way around it. That's the foundation. But only for those who hear it and do it. And the so-called Christian religion rejected it en masse. You see, every single one of them, regardless in what denomination or faction they are or division they are, Eastern, Western, you know, the Reformation that came later on and produced many more, as Christ would call them, telling the Apostle John about the great whore and the harlots, her daughters that came out of her. That's what he's talking about. They're all in the same, you know, the same mire and the same mud pile, you see. All in the same vomit and cesspool, and they don't know it. So he says, but everyone, verse 26, who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, which includes the overwhelming majority of those who call themselves Christians, because few of them are faithful, you see, to the truth, to the Word of God, and have been throughout the centuries to this very day. But the majority were not. So every one of those who claim to be Christians all this time, who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, will be like a foolish man. And Christ doesn't hang around with foolish people. That's why he says, I never knew you. When you reject my character and mind and personality, you see, and nature, which is revealed through my law, why would I know you? I don't know people like that. You see, he never came into their assemblies. And all their so-called devotion, you know, and their Sundays and Easter and all those pagan holidays that they had. God was never there. Christ was never there. It was all in vain. That's why he said, in vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of man. Those are not the commandments of God. Nowhere would you see in the Bible, thou shalt keep Sunday or thou shalt keep Easter. You see, or Halloween or, you know, whatever they have, or Christmas. God is not there. Christ is not there. Because they have rejected him. And as he told his own people, you see, you can read it to his own people. He made that statement. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being a priest unto me. So if he was going to reject his own people, why would he accept the Gentiles who to begin with never accepted his character and nature, his law, his commandments? You see, that's why the faithful of God, the real followers of Christ, the real genuine Christians, followers of Christ, are described in Revelation in a few places as those who have the testimony of Christ, which he testified, and this is one of the testimonies that he gave, and throughout the entirety of his word. So they are the ones who have the testimony of Christ and keep the commandments. As he told someone, if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. Don't say they're done away with or I've done it for you. You do it, just like I did it. You obey the commandments of my Father just like I did. You follow me like I followed my Father. You take the cross, even though people may hate you for it and despise you and persecute you, and you just follow in the same path that I did and be obedient to the law of God until the end. Learn obedience through the sufferings that you go through just like I did. You see, that's a part of the testimony of Christ, and the faithful do that and have the testimony and are obedient to the commandments of God, which he gave and not man. You see, he's the one that gave it to Moses to give to Israel, and he's the one that came to magnify it in the flesh, not magnify something else or invent a new religion. And so he says, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. That's what Christianity is all about, a house of cards on the sand which is going to crumble in 1 hour when he comes and totally demolishes this whole lie and deception that many people fell for. And he's going to expose it for what it is and open the eyes of many. You see? Because that's what people have built their lives on deceptions and lies. Just like all those pagans, you know, that bow down and pray to a Buddha or pray to a statue or a stone in the ancient times, and they still do to this very day. You see? Nobody was there to listen. You see? It was all lie. There's no truth in it. And so their whole religion is built on a sand. Well, their whole house is a house of guards. And so it says, and the rain descended and the floods came. You know, all kind of problems, trials. And the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And that's how God describes the fall of the great Babylon, the great whore, the mother of harlots. In 1 hour, she's going to come to an end. Total crash of the entire system of belief, of lies, of deceptions. You see? And God is going to blot it out from under heaven. And for that matter, every religion on the face of the earth that is not of His. And return only the purity of His religion. And His own people, Judah, and the people of Israel, who do not even know that they are Israel. They think they are Gentiles who are into this false religion of Christianity. They are going to walk in the law. You see? That's what the new covenant is all about. The new marriage that He's going to have with them, as He did in Sinai. Where He said, behold, the days are coming when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not with a Gentile church. And He's going to say, He said, I am going to put My laws, My Torah, My commandments, My statutes and precepts and judgments and testimonies, all those things that I gave them in Sinai, as long ago Moses already told them, you're going to turn around at the end of days, after the greatest tribulation that will come upon you, which is still ahead of us, and you're going to come back to this very law that I gave it to Dan, you're going to obey all of it. You see? And that's what God said. I'm going to make a new covenant with you. I'm going to marry you and put My law in your hearts this time. You're going to be on a table of stone, and you're going to walk in it. Not despise it, not claim it's done away with, not claim, you know, I did it all for you. You see? That's all a part of the deception. And that's where it was going to be a great fall. Well, you have a choice, either to come out of it before it's too late, as God said, you come out of Babylon, or else you're going to be partakers of her plagues, because God is going to plague Babylon, you see, with the most horrible plagues that ever fell upon any people on the face of the earth. You see? Because they're the only people on the face of the earth that are claiming to be the followers of Christ. You know, the Chinese don't claim that. You know, the Indians and other nations, you know, are into different religions. You see? And the deceivers of the whole earth that claim to be his servants and preach a false gospel. You see? Mixed, you know, with a little bit of truth and much error in it. That's what's going to be a great fall. Verse 28, and so it was. That was the end of this discourse here and all what is called, you know, the Sermon on the Mount. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at His teaching. By this time, you know, a lot of people have gathered to listen to Him, and they're all Jews, members of His wife, you see, members of His people. And many of them became faithful and followed Him to, you know, to their death, you know, as time went by, because they were being persecuted not only by Rome, by Gentile Rome, you see, by the empire, the evil empire at the time, but by the church that rose later on out of that evil empire and basically took over the same form of government. And just as Rome was persecuting Judah, so did that church. Same spirit was in them. Same God, the God of this world. And so these people were very astonished, for He taught them as one having authority. It was not just, you know, talking smoothly and nicely to them. He knew what He was talking about because He was God. You see, He was their God. He was the Redeemer and the Deliverer. Of course, a lot of people, you know, today, as well in the past, you know, make fun of this reality. And they come up with all kind of contorted concepts and ideas why it's not true that Jesus is not God. You see, well, he's not the God of heaven and earth. He's not the Father. He never said He was. That Father is greater than Him. But He's also a deity. That's what it means. You see, when you say God, you get confused there. They're all Elohim. And that heritage he offered to his children too, also to become members of that Elohim family. That's why it's in the plural. And has been always from the beginning. It's not a coincidence. You see? That's why he told his own people through the Psalms. Psalms 82, verse 6. I said, you are Elohim. You see? But in essence, he tells them, if you despise my law and commandments, you'll die like men. And so Christ reminded them of that. You know, why do you want to persecute me because I said the Son of God? Doesn't it say in your law, speaking by the Psalms? And he's the one that gave that law. It's not there. It's not there, you know, the Jewish law that they've invented. Some people don't understand this kind of terminology. You know, they think, well, Jewish law means, you know, law, you know, the Jews have invented it. No, there is Jewish law that God gave them, and there is Jewish law that they have invented. And you have to know the difference between the two. And most ignorant people don't, you see, including the high and the mighty. And so, you know, in religion. Because they do not study the entirety of the Word of God, and they do not study, you know, the entirety of the teachings of the Jewish religion, you see, and differentiate between that which is of God and that which is, you know, purely teachings of man. You have to know the difference and not despise the whole thing. You never throw the baby with the bathwater, you see. If you are, you're a fool, and a lot of people are fools. And so he spoke in authority with them, and they recognized it. Nobody talks like that. You see, and so many of them followed him. And so it says, he was speaking to them with authority and not as the scribes, you know, the teachers of the law. And then in chapter 8, verse 1, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. These were the, you know, the first Christians, so to speak, at that phase. You see, the real first Christians were all their forefathers in Sinai. As Paul made it very plain. Who were the first Christians? You see? He said, our father to the Corinthians, not you. Our fathers who followed. You see, who followed that rock. Who ate of his spiritual food and drank his spiritual drink. You see, who were baptized in the water and by the cloud. And they followed that spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ. They were the first Christians, the followers of Christ, the Redeemer, the Anointed, the King of Israel, the Husband of Israel, the God of Israel, that is the Elohim of Israel, the Deity of Israel. You see, who was under the command of his superior one that became known later on as his father, the El Elyon. And so this multitude followed him. They're all Jews. See? These are the Christians. That was, you know, the genuine Christian church. Christian, you know, congregation, assembly. You see, some people think church is a Catholic terminology or Protestant. It's not. That's a generic name that, in the old days, even a mosque, you see, and any other religion, you know, they use that name. All it means is, you see, ecclesia, gathering. Anywhere you had gathering, any given religion, that was a church. And later on, you know, they differentiated between that and synagogue. That's what synagogue also means, ecclesia, you know, a place of gathering. Knesset, in Hebrew, place, you know, where people gather. It's the same word as church, ecclesia. But, you know, people are ignorant. They don't know the right from their left. So they begin to make distinctions there, you know, to claim, well, we've got our religion, you've got your religion, we've got our terminology, your terminology. You see, it's all Babylon. And so the multitudes followed him. You see, they didn't reject him, they followed him. But they later on would deceive themselves because things didn't happen as they expected it to happen. He didn't bring them deliverance at the time, and he didn't come to bring them deliverance at the time from Rome. He came to bring them deliverance from sin, from themselves. And they did not understand it. And so at this point, you know, they just followed, you know, they wanted to hear his teachings. They were his people. This was a part of his wife. The wife was following her husband. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him. You see? Now, you don't worship a man. Why would he come and worship him? Because he recognized something more than just a man there. You see? And people, you know, read over that and they don't realize what it is here. Because a lot of people still had enough knowledge and understanding to know that there is you know, at the time they still understood there are two divine beings. You see, there is a El Elyon, and there is a one that he's sending, his messenger, and they knew what Malachi said. What God said through Malachi, what the one that became the father said through Malachi, behold, I will send my messenger. You see? And he sent John the Baptist to prepare the way. And then he said, and the Lord whom you seek shall come to his temple. And some recognize that. That's why they could worship him, because they knew that he was a divine being that came in the flesh. You see, time goes by and people forget about all that. They don't understand what they're reading. During that time, they still understood that there are two divine beings, and they didn't believe in this concept of monotheism, one God, period. Oh yeah, there is one God and one Lord. What does that mean? One El Elyon, you see, and one is second in command, but both of them are deities. And as time went by, the devil deceived everybody, both the so-called Christians and the Jews, and they don't know their right from their left now. They don't understand it properly. But here it is, still to this time, just like Nathanael said, I know that you're the Christ, you're the Son of God. The Jews always knew, anybody who says he's the Son of God, he is God. That's why they accuse him of making himself equal with God by saying he's the Son of God. They understood what it meant, you see. But the ones that didn't have a problem with that, they accepted him as that divine being that came and married them in Sinai. The one that was sent from God, the one that has been always called the Adon, the Lord. That's why they constantly called him the Adon, the Lord. You don't call anybody that. That's why he told them that you have only one Lord, one Master. That's what it means, one Adon. And he's in heaven. That is, he's going back to heaven. And all of you are brethren. Treat one another as such. You're on the same level. There is no hierarchy there. You see? You don't bow down before anybody and kiss his ring or his foot or whatever. That's blasphemy, and yet a blasphemous religion has been doing it and still does it to this very day. And so they followed him, and this person came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, Adon, you see, the King of Israel, the God of Israel, if you please, the Elohim of Israel. If you are willing, you can make me, clean, you, that is. And a man cannot do that, but God can. But yet he knew who that person was. He's a leper. Imagine that. Had greater wisdom than the high and the mighty among the Pharisees. Why? Because politics went to their head. Power, greed, covetousness. And when those things enter into your head, you forget the truth. That was their problem. But as Nicodemus said when he came to him, as you read in John 3, he's one of the chief rulers there. He was a Pharisee. He came to Jesus and he told him, we know that you are a man sent from God. It is so, we were ignorant. We don't know that. We know. But obviously some, in spite of that knowledge, just like in Sinai, in spite of the knowledge of God and Moses, they still wanted to reject God and worship idols and kill Moses. You see? That's human nature. And it is still with us to this very day. And had he come today, Jesus Christ, many who call themselves Christians would have persecuted him and would have brought about his death. Just like they did in those days. Why? Because they would have hated his message, because he was condemning them, their conduct and behavior, and they don't like to hear it. People haven't changed a bit. And so this man acknowledged him for what he really was, a divine being who can heal. And he worshipped him and he called him Adon, Master. You see, it's not just an ordinary master, but the name that was the name of God. As you see in different places, that name, the Adon, as God told them through Malachi, the Adon that you seek will come to his temple. His temple. It's not a man that can claim, that's my temple. Only God can claim that, only a divine being, a deity. But, the blind is blind and chooses to be blind no matter what you tell them, so that it's neither here nor there for them. As Christ said, only those who have an ear, or those who have an eye, or those who have a heart to understand can. And the rest, let them continue in their blindness until God decides to deal with them on a personal basis. And then he says to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You can do anything. You're a divine being. Verse 3, then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. You see, he was a humble person, a leper. And there were many like that, whether they were lepers or not. And so, when they recognized him, he recognized them. When they knew him, he knew them. And he wouldn't tell them, I never knew you, as he's going to say to the entirety of this world called Christianity. the leadership as they come before him. He says, I never knew you. Why? Because you didn't know me. The only way you can know me is by being obedient to my law. And this leper, in spite of his affliction, was an obedient, you see, servant of God. And therefore, he recognized him. When you disobey his law, then you do not recognize him anymore. You have no faith. You see? And that's what he's doing here. He said, I'm willing. Be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now, you know, no man can do things like that. And the people that had eyes to see, well, they saw who that person was. That's why, you know, a multitude followed him. And they had different gradations of understanding who that being was, who that person was. After all, his own disciples, even though they knew, they still had a hard time, even until, you know, the time of the resurrection. And so we read in verse 4, and Jesus said unto him, see that you tell no one. See, I don't want to show, because a lot of people go out there and they like to make a big show. You know, they have a big stage and a tent, and they perform all those signs and wonders, supposed signs and wonders, and they have it on TV. They want everybody to see. God doesn't function like that. So that tells you about what kind of people they are, what manner of spirit they are of. They are not of God. God is not in the business of show business when it comes to his, you know, in terms of healing or things like that. And it doesn't want his servants to be that way either. Show off. Because that, you know, they just want attention to themselves. That's the reason why they do it. Not to God. God is not interested in that. That's why he said when you do all kind of good things, you do it in secret. You see? Don't be a show off and tell everybody about it because you want credit for yourself. Don't look for credit from men. Look for it from God. That's what he's saying here. You see? That's the manner in which he did. This is what would Jesus do. That's not what people do who claim to be his servants that come in his name. They're false prophets. They have another God, another Savior, a false one. And so he says, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest. Now some people say, well, you know, the priest, you know, well, he's not following Jesus Christ. Why would he go to the priest? You know, Jesus Christ came, he brings another religion, we're not into Christianity. What do you need the priest for? Because God appointed the priest to officiate, and the office of the priest was not done away with. You see? And that's the only way for them to be cleansed and purged according to his law, which he brought from the Father in Sinai to them. And so he's not telling them, don't think that I came to destroy the Torah or the prophet, and then turns around and does just the opposite, as people claim that he did. Bunch of liars. That's why they do it. You see, they're ministers of the devil, not of God. He always upheld his law. And so according to the law that he gave to Israel, when there was a need for cleansing, he had to go to the priest. There is no other way. He didn't say, well, you know, I'm Jesus Christ. I'm going to do it for you. You don't need anybody else. You see, I'm the high priest. Didn't do that. You see, so you read that and you learn something from it, and you learn that many of the teachings that you learned later on were all a bunch of lies. These are not the teachings of Christ, or the God of Israel. So he says, you go to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. You see? So when they're going to see it, the priesthood, when other people are going to see that you've been healed, it's going to be a testimony to them. That's a part of the testimony of Christ. And people who have the testimony of Christ are obedient to the law of God, obedient to the law of Moses, because Moses was given that law directly by Jesus Christ himself, person to person, mouth to mouth, face to face. You see? You never heard this message before that if you went to the so-called Christian religion. You have to go to the very few that really are genuine followers of Christ to learn that, and there are many there. There are few in comparison, you see, but they are all over the place, and God always preserved them in spite of the persecution all these 2,000 years. They are there. And so he made it very plain. The law of God is not done away with. The law of Moses is not done away with. That's why he said, you either remember the law of Moses or else I'm going to bring utter destruction on the whole earth. He's not talking only about Israel, but the whole earth. And this is what Israel was supposed to do. Take that law of Moses that God gave him directly and go and show the whole earth how to live a righteous life and have all the blessings and have a relationship with God and be holy as he is. There is no other way to holiness, and without holiness, none can see God. So without Moses, you cannot become a son of God or a member of the family of God, you see, or a follower of Christ. You can't. There is no other way. That's why he told him, you go do that. That's the law. I didn't come over here to do away with the law, but to fulfill it. Verse 5, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, so he's in the Galilee, a centurion came to him, pleading with him. Imagine that. A centurion, a Roman, coming pleading with a Jew, from a Jew. Well, he didn't recognize him as an ordinary Jew. He heard him already a lot. And that centurion, to begin with, was a man that feared God, went to the synagogue outside, couldn't go inside, and listened to the law of God. You see, and God was already dealing with him, and he feared God. And to the degree that he understood the law of God, he walked in it. You see, that's a background. You've got to have the background, otherwise you don't understand what's really happening here. And so, that's what he's doing here, this centurion. He came to him pleading with him. And I know a centurion, a Roman centurion, a proud Roman centurion does not plead, with a Jew, no more than a high-ranking Nazi officer is not going to be, coming to a rabbi and pleading with him, to come and heal his son. You see? You just don't see things like that. Unless that Nazi officer, learned few things that his other fellows didn't know. And this centurion was in that category in that sense. Though they are the oppressors of the people of Judah, this man was not. He is the one that feared the God of Judah. You see? And he recognized this person as somebody sent from that divine being. And so he too addresses him, saying, Lord, Adon, the same terminology. So the man knew something about the law of God, about the prophets, about who is that Adon, you see, who came to his temple. Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. He's not even talking about his son, servant. So you can see that this man was a kind person, a person that learned a few lessons by living in that land where the law of God was being practiced, and there was knowledge of God. That is, in the land, in that neighborhood where he was, in the synagogue where he went to, you see? You got to understand the background there. This is not done in a vacuum. And so he says, my servant is paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. He recognized immediately the faith in that man, the knowledge that this person had of the law of God, and knowing that only God can heal, and he's acknowledging that God is also walking in a righteous path. Had he been an evildoer, he would not have listened to him, you see. And so he said, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, Adon, again, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. You see, he recognizes that this person is far above any human being on the face of the earth, or the emperor, you see. He's not a man. He knew enough about the law of God to know that this is the person that Israel was waiting for, the Messiah, the Deliverer, the Redeemer of Israel, the King of Israel, the Husband of Israel, you see. And so he was awed by him, and that's why he said, I'm not worthy. And no centurion would ever talk like that to a Jew in that manner, you see. So you have to understand that there is a lot of background behind the scene there. That's what he said. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word. You see, that's absolute authority. And my servant will be healed. You see, a centurion is a soldier. He's always under command. And he's not playing games, either in his obedience to his superiors or with those who are with him. You just say a word and that's it and it's done. You see, when you are in the military, you understand that, and especially in those days, you don't play games. So you understood the essence of authority, and therefore you understood the nature of God. A lot of people don't, you see. That's why he was able to have faith. And that's what he's saying here. For I also am a man under authority. I understand authority. You see, I know you don't need to come because your word is enough. It has power in it. As Christ said, my word is spirit. He understood that. He said, I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and beside that, also superiors, obviously. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. and to another come, and he comes. And to my servant do this, and he does it. It's as simple as that. But the people of God never knew it as a whole. They never knew this form of obedience to God, and when he tells them to do something, do it. Have faith. Believe it. Know who's behind it. So here it is, a Gentile, a centurion, a Roman. You see, that had a much greater understanding of the nature and the law of God, or the law of Moses, and this, you know, person lives in the midst of a nation that is made of people that have always been, generally speaking, rebellious against the law of God, and always argued with God back and forth, you know, from the day of Sinai, where they said, well, okay, you know, he crossed, you know, the Red Sea for us, but, you know, can he give us manna? Well, he gave us manna. Can he do this? Can he do that? You see, faithless people to this very day. That's why even when they read these words, those who call themselves Christians or Jews still do not have that faith in God. Why? Because faith comes by obedience. When you obey God, you know you do your part. You know that God will do his part. You have no doubt about it. But what happens when you are disobedient? That's when you have doubts. That's when you are faithless. That's why you are never sure. You see? That's why you have insecurities. Until the next time again, this is Mordecai Joseph greeting all of God's people.